We Talk Podcasts is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. The time of the geek is at hand. Geek Nation Tours provides fun and unique vacation packages featuring themes such as the Civil War, Harry Potter, board games and beer, sports geeks, in locations such as Germany, Japan, England, and all over America. Visit geeknationtours.com and get your geek on.
Here we go. It's We Talk Fantasy Football. We are heading into week 14. It is Mo.
It is
Brett.
Yes, it is.
14.
This is a week that, for some of you, might be the most stressful week of your fantasy football season.
14!
This might be the week that you're, this might be the week that you're sitting there fighting for your lives. Either you're trying to qualify for your playoffs, or you are trying to... your playoffs have already started. That's possible that your games are starting that way. And conversely, you could be like us, where you have all your teams are on bye or in meaningless games.
It's probably the least.
Or you're already out of it. For us, luckily, we're not out of it. But for a lot of people, they're already out of it, so it's not. But for those of you in the height of it, like I say, for us, luckily this year, because we went 5-1 again this last week, that puts us at an incredible 16-2 record over the last 3 weeks. We're closing in on 700 win percentage for the season, which will 700 win percentage for the season, which will easily, I'm sure be among the best for anybody doing these type of podcasts or blogs this year. It's been a lot of factors of the streaming that's been correct, figuring out the system for strength of schedule. But another thing that's being correct this year, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this, is our unwillingness to get suckered into the old way of thinking about running backs in the NFL when it relates to fantasy. And we'll get into that a little bit more as we go on here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our teams in several cases. I mean, we've noted that our drafts have turned out really well. But there are other teams where the drafts haven't turned out really well, but we've managed to pick up the right players. And I think when you speak of running backs, it's just they're not very good this year, whether that's due to talent level or injury or just flat-out RB by committee. And I think that, as we go through, it really tosses a lot of water on some of the older strategies.
Well, and we were looking this up earlier today. We look like we're going to have about eight running backs that'll hit 1,000 yards this season. Only eight. Last year was 13. The previous year was 13. The year before that was 16. The year before that was 18. Up to like in year 2000, it was like 23 running backs who hit the 1,000 yard mark. In 1990, it was still like 15. 1980 it was like eight again, but it was a different game. So what we've seen is this is a trend. It might not be this bad next year, but the idea that running backs are just being phased out as being the workhorse back, or just the fact that it's a passing game, has changed things. So again, in some ways that makes you think, oh, that means the running backs, that lead dog is really, really important. But what we've noticed is, of the few running back teams that are going with just an RB1, who's the workhorse, those are the guys that are hurt. Lynch is hurt. Bell is hurt. Charles is hurt. The game and the style of game and the physical pace and the demands of it, the demands of the practicing, all of that stuff, just means that maybe the coaches are right in doing the running back by committee. Maybe that's what's best for the team. Harder for fantasy, best for the team, because those guys are so unlikely to make it through an entire season.
Well, I think the interesting thing is that a couple of years ago, I know that when we were discussing strategy, the idea of finding the workhorse back was very important. But more to that point, we kind of made the decision to start looking at wide receivers more so than running backs, because they were just it just was easier to pick wide receivers. And I think that nowadays, as it becomes a more passing league, it's really difficult, because even the workhorse backs, in some cases, like you said, they get injured. But when they have down games, you're relying so heavily on that workhorse back. And so when those down games occur, you have almost nobody who's able to like, you know, bring your scores up.
If you've invested too heavily in running backs, you don't have the wide receivers to do it. I mean, we're looking at 25 to 30 wide receivers hitting 1,000 yards, but still those guys at the top end, their potential are to hit 2,000 yards. And you know, that's a big difference. That's a huge difference.
Oh, absolutely.
And so that's why those guys are the guys that are winning your league probably this year. So anyways, we're gonna move in here to our game picks. We'll talk a little bit more about the running backs as we go through it here. And we're gonna open up with tonight's game. One of the few lead backs and you know, I mean, the leader in the NFL in yards. I mean, this guy is the guy. And he was being drafted first overall. I'm not sure if he was still worth first overall, but he's certainly the first running back that should have been taken off the board, and one that we say we were incorrect on this kid. And this Adrian Peterson. It's Adrian Peterson versus the Arizona Cardinals tonight, because it certainly is not Teddy Bridgewater. You noticed an interesting stat about Bridgewater this year.
Yeah, I had read just this last week that he was on pace for 11 touchdowns. Now, again, this is the NFL, the passing league, and Teddy Bridgewater is on pace to throw 11 touchdowns in an entire season. I mean,
yeah, it's not like he was being hurt really much, you know. I mean, he missed a little bit, but it's not like
No, he currently has thrown 8 touchdowns, and he's run for 2. Now, Russell Wilson, by example, in the last 3 games, has thrown for 11 touchdowns. So he's already accounted for more touchdowns in the last 3 games than Teddy Bridgewater has the entire season.
Yeah, and yet the Vikings are 8-4. And this does speak well to Adrian Peterson, but they're going against the 10-2 Cardinals. The Cardinals are, when you talk about it being a passing league, Cardinals are a great example. I mean, CJ2, he would have been, or CJ Johnson, or whatever you want to call him, Chris Johnson, I don't care.
Yes, Chris Johnson.
Chris Johnson, we'll just call his name. Yeah, but anyways, this guy, every coach's dream, was that his nickname at one point?
Maybe.
Every coach's dream, I think that was his. Anyways, he would have gotten 1,000 yards if he had stayed healthy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the injury again, though, there's another guy who had become the workhorse on his team and didn't hold up. Another example of it. Now, they're just the example, though, of the passing team, because they have 3 wide receivers that are fantasy relevant. They have a quarterback who is probably in the running for MVP. I mean, he won't win it because Cam Newton's Cam Newton. But, you know, I mean,
and he's extremely fantasy relevant.
You know, I don't know that. I mean, Duke Johnson, these guys, David Johnson will get use. You know, he's pretty good. Their running backs will get use, but their wide or the tight ends have no use, no fantasy value. It's all in those receivers. There's 3 there right now. There's almost a fourth in Nelson. So they are. It's almost like this game is an interesting game. It's the old NFL. Like the 1980s, what won and won a championship, Vikings, who are 8-4 versus the 10-2 Cardinals and the current NFL mentality.
Well, if my thought is that if the Cardinals watch the Seattle game where Seattle shut down Adrian Peterson and let Teddy Bridgewater pass all over them, then
air quotes on pass, folks.
Yes. Then I truly believe that. That the Cardinals will destroy the Vikings because Adrian Peterson won't be able to get much of a foothold against the Cardinals' good defense. And there's no way that the Vikings' defense, missing 3 of its top players, are going to be able to stop the Cardinals.
So this next game will be the Falcons versus the Panthers. This is very interesting. Obviously, the Panthers 12-0 versus the Cardinals 6-6. So, I mean, I think we're both in agreement. We're just going to put the Panthers in as the win because you're not going against them while they're winning. Cam Newton against a team that is constantly losing. You're going to have two. This team has game has two game two teams that are going to end up with running backs over 1,000 yards. Freeman is going to end up over 1,000 yards. He's getting touchdowns. He's also getting receptions. He's going to end up with over 1,000 yards. The number 3 running back in the league behind Peterson and Doug Martin is Jonathan Stewart. And yet, he's not as fantasy relevant as Freeman because of those touchdowns and receptions. But still, great value for where he was picked. But that's how bad the running backs are this year. He's at 930 yards, and he is the number three running back in the entire league for total rushing yards.
Well, the thing is that nobody ever doubted Stewart's talent. And Stewart always had to contend with D'Angelo Williams in front of him on the pecking order. And so now that he doesn't have to, I mean, he's able to just run free. And the difference is that Cam Newton, especially when he's playing so well, takes so much pressure off of the offensive line, you know, and Jonathan Stewart. So, I mean, I think he's doing probably as well as a lot of people expected that he could, but there was the huge question of whether he would stay healthy for it. And he's managed to do a good job of staying healthy. And so, really, he's in the place that he should have been, but he dropped so far because of a lot of questions.
But I think the other point here is that at 930 yards after 13 weeks, 12 games for them, that he is, I mean, that's good. I mean, he's averaging, you know, over 80 mm-hmm. yards a game. But it's not spectacular. This isn't, no. Even Adrian Peterson is, nobody's coming close to those DeMarco Murray numbers of 1,800 yards last year, you know. That's another thing that's very interesting for me. He's number three, and he's probably going to finish with, if he finishes with 1,200 yards for the season as the third highest rushing running back, he might not even finish with that.
No,
he might not even finish with that.
And I think part of that is Cam Newton.
Yeah, it absolutely is. But so then you got the Saints, who are 4-8 against the Buccaneers. You have the Buccaneers, so we talk about Doug Martin, number two in the league. And he's I think he's going to make a run at being number one before the season's over, meaning he was, again, great value. But they're playing the Saints. Number one, two questions for you. Number one, who's going to win this game? Because the Saints win when they shouldn't. And number two, what about the Saints running back situation now with Ingram injured?
Well, with Ingram injured, I mean, it's right now it's anybody's guess. You know, I mean, you can talk up C.J. Spiller because he is by far the guy with the most talent. But the problem is that Sean Payton has seemed just like every other coach with really no interest in actually figuring out how to use Spiller properly. And then as far as Tim Hightower, I mean, Hightower has had some good, you know, runs before as an NFL back, but I mean, he's really so far down on the depth chart. I don't know. I mean, he'll probably get the early work, but is he really going to become fantasy relevant? And they have terrible, terrible matchups down the stretch. Even this one's not a very good matchup. I'm going to go with the Buccaneers to win because that's the sensible decision. But, you know, the Saints, of course, they could easily win.
And this is where everything is falls in on this, but I do kind of suspect that Hightower might get a bunch of TDs over the next few games, and that will be why he ends up being perhaps a fantasy boost to those guys who are in need of it.
Yeah, he could run like 10 for 17 and two touchdowns.
Yeah, I could absolutely see that. San Francisco 49ers, a surprising 4-8 against the 2-10 Browns. Johnny Football back at the helm. What a just internal strife there in Cleveland now. Talk about that locker room that locker room is being lost. Neither team, I mean, the 49ers certainly, as far as running back, have the better guy. Drawn is amazingly only been in the NFL 4 years despite all these stops.
And they picked him up from Cleveland, I might add.
Yeah, and you know what? He literally could be, I could see him being the lead back there over Hyde next year. I could see him being a solid fantasy running back over the next several seasons. He probably has 3-4 good years in him. But yeah, what do you think is going to happen in this game, and what do you think about the running backs?
Wow. I mean, well, Isaiah Crowell has proven, I mean, again, the Cleveland Browns have proven that they made the absolute wrong decision. Because
should have kept Drawn West? No.
Well, no.
Should have kept Richardson? No. Like, wrong decision. They all suck.
Yeah. But Drawn, actually, who was like number three or four on their depth chart, would have been a significant upgrade.
He does appear to have an overall better skill set
over Crowell. Like Crowell, but the funny thing is that when you look at it, I mean, Terrence West, you know, was crap, couldn't play for the Titans, but now that he's in Baltimore, he actually doesn't look too bad. But Isaiah Crowell has yet to really find any kind of groove. But
who on the Browns has? He never gets the ball consistently. He never gets the ball 20-25 times a game. His numbers per yards of carry aren't as bad as you would think. I mean, let's face it. This is a team, like we say, a locker room that's lost. and a coach that is, well, you just have to say bad at this point. He's a bad coach. And that said, they could win the game, couldn't they?
They absolutely could. And you know what? They need to. But see, here's the thing, is that deep down, I almost feel like Pettine is going to be cheering against the team to win because I feel like he wants to be proven right about Johnny Manziel.
That's almost strange. Though that Johnny Manziel is an asshole.
Yes.
I'll say it, like, straight up.
Yes.
Like, he does have some ability, but...
I mean,
he's going to be proven right, I believe, regardless of how Manziel plays this game. He's going to be proven right by the time that the guy's career is over anyways.
Yes, but in this game, I have to go with the 49ers, but I could easily see the Browns winning.
I'm picking the Browns. Seahawks and Ravens. Ravens, surprisingly, solid the last couple games, actually. A couple wins in a row here.
That is amazing, but it's not going to happen again. There's virtually no chance that they can... there's always a chance that anybody could win in the NFL, but
this is the exact type of game that Seahawks have been losing this year that they should have won. This, to me, is that trap game, and a game that they didn't lose in past years. They look like the Seahawks of old again now, the last couple of weeks, but this is definitely a game that I could see... Well, their defense still has some problems. I could see them losing this game. I'm not picking them to lose, but I could see it happening. I'm going to say this. I think Allen will have a fantastic game regardless because the offense has to go through him. And Rawls, I think, will be a little bit of a disappointment. But man, I still love me Baldwin. Baldwin has become... He's like the best wide receiver nobody's talking about right now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, those last two games have just been beastly. But in fairness, I mean, Russell Wilson is the reason that the Seahawks aren't going to lose this game, because I think that Russell Wilson has been playing spectacular football over the last few weeks, and that's just going to carry on against the Ravens.
Here's two teams with this is a strange game. This next game is the Lions and the Rams. And what you have here is the Lions and the Rams have the same record, and yet one team feels significantly better than the other team. The Lions feel like a significantly better team than the Rams. The Rams have the better running back, and yet he's fallen off lately. They have the guy. Their running back situation seems solid. The Lions doesn't, but the Lions seem like a much better team. Again, talk about losing your team. You lost your team as soon as Foles was your starting quarterback, unfortunately, for the Rams.
Well, you know, like, I mean, Todd Gurley, he's hit a bit of a rookie wall, I think. And teams are just stacking the box against him because they don't need to worry about it, you know. And as far as the Lions go, I mean, everybody keeps saying Amir Abdullah, you know, keep playing the guy. But, you know, they're holding back a little bit. And, you know, again, maybe that's a good thing because we see the kind of wall that Gurley's hit. But, you know, in this case, the Rams suck. They're an awful, awful team, and they're going to lose because the Lions are a team on their way up.
The Bears are a team here whose wide receivers, I think, might have some interesting games coming up. It's two teams that are 5-7, them and the Skins. Same record, both teams must-win situation. What happens in this one?
Well, you know, the Redskins, I mean, they keep trying to get Matt Jones the ball. He's not proving to be much of a good running back. Alfred Morris is the guy who probably should get the ball. But, you know, Gruden, when he decides that he doesn't like a guy, he decides that he doesn't like a guy. And Alfred Morris is currently that guy. As far as the Bears go, I mean, they've kind of got a two-headed running attack, and Forte was a guy that everybody expected.
Actually,
at the beginning
Carey
of the season.
Was the guy who was really running it last week.
That's right.
It's almost three-headed. Now, yeah.
Like, Forte was the guy that everybody anticipated at the beginning of the season would be like the 1,400-yard back, and he's not there, and he only missed a couple of games, so it's actually not that big a deal. In this case, you know, the Redskins keep losing when they need to win, and the Bears, I actually think, are a better team than the Redskins overall. I like the Bears.
I like the Bears, too. Here's the Chargers and the Chiefs. The Chiefs running backs, Spencer Ware, will probably get a touchdown. Other than that, if he doesn't, he's going to be a nightmare for you. But West will continue to be a dynamic player. The Chargers have no run game. They're 3-9. They're going the wrong direction. Chiefs are a sneaky team. It's an easy Chiefs win, isn't it?
Oh, the Chiefs have won, five in a row or something like that? I mean, their defense is playing killer football right now. The Chargers' offense is completely gone. I don't know if Mike McCoy manages to still be the head coach of this team next year, but you know, whatever happens, I mean, the Chargers need an influx of wide receivers badly, and Melvin Gordon looks like a draft bust at this point.
And in the battle of two douchebag coaches in the next game, 6-6 Bills versus the 5-7 Eagles.
I knew exactly where you were going when you said that.
Yeah, because there were two coaches who are not nearly as good as any reputation, but similar records. McCoy should be huge.
Yeah, McCoy, this is revenge game central. I love me some McCoy. The only reason that he's not going to be huge is because, you know, the Eagles are going to just completely stack the box, and then Tyrod Taylor's going to beat the hell out of them. You know, it should be, you know, I mean, I'm amazed that the Eagles have won the last couple of weeks. The Eagles are playing pretty well. And, you know, I don't love the Bills, you know, very much. And Lord knows I have no idea who the Eagles running backs are going to be. Ryan Matthews will be in, theoretically. Sproles looked good last game, but you know, my gut is telling me Bills.
Okay, it's a tough one. I'm going to go Bills too, but it's tough. So we ended up getting cut off here at the end of our last conversation because somebody decided to push up a meeting at the last minute, so we didn't get a chance to finish the podcast where we were. So if you hear any background noise, it's because it's become a car-versation, as we like to call it. We're finishing up the podcast in the car here. The information will be the same. The hosts will be the same. The background noise, totally unique. It had its own flavor.
That's right. We like to spice it up a little bit, you know?
So anyways, where were we here, Brad?
Well, we're going to move on. We're doing the Steelers and the Bengals. So, I mean, we got the Steelers 7-5, the Bengals 10-2. You know, I mean, the Steelers, they've got D'Angelo Williams, who you said looked like he could hit 1,000 yards.
He could hit 1,000 yards, which is ultra impressive when you really think about it.
Oh, absolutely.
His per game, like, he looks rejuvenated. I mean, if you want to talk about who's actually been the better player between him and Stewart this year, I think it's actually him. And that's even more impressive because, let's face it, those are two backs who canceled each other out and underperformed for him. Had injuries for years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I don't think there's any chance that either of the Bengals running backs are going to hit 1,000 yards.
There is no chance. There is no chance. I can't recall the stats off the top of my head, but I think they're at about 500 yards each or something like that. Or not even. I don't think Bernard's even close to that, actually. But he has obviously a lot more receptions. And
yeah.
Overall, like per game, fantasy value is virtually the same. Bernard's a little more consistent, and Hill hits a few more home runs, but neither one of them. At least Bernard was a fourth round pick, you know.
Actually, I think Bernard in most cases was like a seventh round pick. Yeah. So I mean, Bernard not too bad. Hill was definitely the lesser value there.
Yeah.
So I believe that you had said to me earlier that you kind of thought that this could be an upset game for the Steelers.
Yeah, I like the Steelers to win this game. I think Big Ben's going to have a huge game. I think Antonio Brown's going to have a huge game. I think this is going to be a shootout like we saw in Seattle when the Steelers took on the Seahawks. I think it's going to be the same thing. I think it's going to be a shootout. The difference is this time, I think the Steelers win it. I mean, the Bengals are still a really good team. I still think they're going to the AFC Championship. But that said, this is the type of game they lose historically. They kind of fade towards the end of the season, so I'm kind of betting on that a little.
All right, well, I'm willing to go with it. The Steelers have just such a great offense that I do believe that they have an excellent chance to win this game.
Yeah, I think Heath Miller might be a sneaky play player here too, because let's face it, the Bengals are being eaten up by tight ends this year.
Yeah, it'll be a good question to see whether he plays or not. All right, so moving on, the Titans and the Jets. So the Titans are 3-9, and the Jets are 7-5.
Jets had a little midseason slump. They're coming back. You know, here's the thing is if you look at over the last 5 weeks or the last 3 weeks, I mean, I was thinking, like, Alex Smith is going to be really good value this week against San Diego. And maybe in a you know, if you're doing a daily league or you're looking for somebody to stream, if he's there to stream, and he still is in some places, Fitzpatrick's even better. I mean, Alex Smith is having a surprisingly good season in the last few weeks. He's doing like 21 points per game, which is great. But that's nowhere near what you're getting out of Fitzpatrick. I mean, he's like the fourth highest scoring quarterback over the last month or so in fantasy. He's getting like 28 points a game. So, I mean, he should be, like, he's going to be remarkable, and that means good game for Decker, excellent game for Marshall.
Well, you know, the thing is that, you know, as Chris Ivory has kind of gone down a little bit, and I mean,
bumped,
Ivory's...
He's bumped back up slightly.
Oh, slightly. But, you know, I mean, Ivory's going to hit 1,000 yards, so he's one of those guys. But, you know, the truth is, when I look at that, Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's Rodney Dangerfield of fantasy football. I mean, he's a guy, he gets no respect.
No respect whatsoever, no.
And, I mean, when you look at the Titans, I mean, they have no running game to speak of. I don't know any of the running backs that seem to be viable options.
I mean, Andrews has become a flex, RB3 flex play, bye week fill-in. He's become a guy who's good enough for that, but he's not become a starter. And he's clearly the lead dog there, and he's clearly an average talent. So what that tells you, I think, all you need to know about them there.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Mariota's good, but I mean, the Jets defense with Revis back should be a lot better. I like the Jets to win this one.
I think the Jets definitely win this one. I mean, you say Mariota's good. He's like the second highest scoring QB, but this week, gonna look for Fitzy to outscore him.
Yeah, all right. Let's move on. We got the 6-6 Indianapolis Colts and the 4-8 Jacksonville Jaguars. A battle of teams that are currently seem to be going nowhere.
Yeah, they really do. I mean, I think the Colts. I mean, the Colts are actually probably more competitive, I think, than we expected.
Yeah, no question about that.
You know, they have a lot of reasons to have an even worse record, and Hasselbeck has been a winner for them up until, you know, last game here. I'm going to go though Jags personally to win. I mean, Gore is. He's going to start all 16 games. He's not going to hit 1,000 yards. He's an outside shot. Of all the group we talk about, there's going to be 8 running backs who are going to hit 1,000. Gore is the 9th guy. He's the guy who he might get there, but I wouldn't count on it. And he's going to play every game. And he's going to not hit 1,000 yards. That tells you everything you need to know about how anemic he has become, how bad the offensive line is. He is... But he's steady. He's never horrible, but there's no upside. He's got no fifth. He's got no fifth gear anymore. I mean, he's got no fourth gear anymore.
Yeah.
That said, they still can't seem to hook it up with Hilton properly. I actually think here's. I mean, I like Yeldon. Like I said, I think in years to come, Yeldon's going to become a really nice running back. This year, I think as people will start to respect Bortles and he continues to improve and he has those great receivers, Yeldon's going to become a really nice back. Surprisingly low numbers this year, considering that people can't stack the box against him because of how good the offense is. But anyways, I'm picking the Jags because the Jags, I just look at it, I go, okay, who's the team with the better quarterback? What's the most important position? QB. Who's got the better quarterback? The Jags do.
Well, I mean, Blake Bortles is in the top 5 in fantasy scoring. I mean, who predicted that at the beginning of the year? Anybody? Nobody.
Another reason why you should never draft a quarterback early.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, I agree. Like, if Hasselbeck plays even close to like he played last week, then the Colts are in a world of hurt.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck may not have a reason to come back after this game.
He may not have a reason. And, you know, like I say, I know Bortles still makes mistakes, but he's also makes more... He also makes more plays, and Hasselbeck just won't make any plays. All he'll do is limit mistakes.
All right. Next up, this one should be relatively easy. You know, the Oakland Raiders 5-7 at the 10-2 Denver Broncos.
So the 4th highest running back at yards this year, easy 1,000-yarder, just right behind Stewart at number 3. Number 4, Latavius Murray. Again, a guy completely off the radar. And that, again, tells you how bad the running backs and the rushing yards are this year. That a guy that nobody ever talks about is the fourth highest runner in the league this year.
Well, I think the thing about Latavius Murray is that he was drafted quite high because a lot of people expected stuff. But, you know, overall, it's not that he's not performing. It's just that he's doing it so quietly.
Well, he doesn't get a lot of touchdowns. He doesn't catch the ball a lot. I mean, because the receptions go to the 2 wide receivers there. You know, Carr is being really, really well. He gets basically the coverage. But yeah, I mean, to me, that's like, wow. Murray's a good player, and yet Murray's again. Is he going to get 1,100 yards? And will that finish at 4th? Like that's the running backs are. Is the talent not there overall? You start to wonder.
Like, if he can finish fourth, is he? Would he finish fourth in 15 years ago? No. You know, he's not that good. So the talent level at running back even isn't the same as it once was. Anyways, what do you have for the actual winner here?
Well, I mean, I've got to go with Denver. I mean, as much as I think Oakland is a pretty good team, but the problem is that Denver's defense just win games. And I don't know. I mean, there's a possibility that C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman are going to miss the game. So, I mean, you know, Juwan Thompson could literally be the starting running back for the Denver Broncos.
Oh, fantasy. If that's the case, he's a daily fantasy dream. He'll be super cheap and yeah, has potential to put up really great numbers.
But, you know, like, I mean, the Denver Broncos, they seem to win no matter what. And so I think they're going to win
one. I'm still not sold on Osweiler. I think he's no good. I agree, though. They'll probably win. That defense is special.
That defense is. All right. Moving on, we got the surprising last week winner, the Dallas Cowboys, 4-8 versus the 8-4 surprising last week winner, Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, the Packers had almost no right to win that game. Are they a bad 8-4 team now?
I actually think they are kind of a bad 8-4 team, but at the same time, if they're going to start winning games like that, then they're going to get hot at the right time of the season, and you know, and I think that they're going to get hot right now.
You'd be foolish to pick against Rodgers in a matchup like this. You just would be foolish.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting battle of running backs. Because
it's super interesting.
Because you look at it, like, Eddie Lacy apparently is made up. So the question is he going to be the lead dog at the running back? He is by far the most talented running back that they have. And I believe that if he is the lead back, he should do quite well this game. Darren McFadden has played pretty well against well-nigh everybody.
Yeah, it's really a strange thing. I could absolutely see Dallas upsetting them, but I'm not gonna pick them. We're gonna pick the Packers. The thing about Lacy is it coach speak? That's the thing that we don't know. You know, I mean, he went to the doghouse. He basically did what he had to do to get the coach's trust again this week, is what the coach is telling us. He's had a good week of practice, is what we're hearing. Is it coach speak? We have no way of knowing this.
No, and in several cases,
case, I'll avoid the hell out of him.
Yeah, but most people can't afford to sit on him. So
we can.
That's what. Well, we're in bye. I mean, yeah. Most of the time, it doesn't matter for us. Yeah. All right. So
if you have any other options, you know what? You might get burned, but I would say if you can get a Juwan Thompson on the waivers and play him instead, I would. I would. I think at least you'll get some points. At least you're not in that position where you'll be could get a guy dropping 1 point like Lacy did last week, or a guy who could get 30 points like he did like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, Juwan Thompson could put up 1 point if C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman.
You know what I'm saying is there's somebody out there. There's a Chris Sims.
Charles Sims.
Charles Sims. I always do that because they're all Tampa. There'll be a Charles Sims. There'll be somebody that got some value for you, because Lacy, we actually won even though he put up 1 point, and Cobb put up like very little, and we still won the game because we had Cam Newton in that league where we have him. Unless you have Cam Newton, just play whoever you want. You can put in a bunch of players from 1985 if you have Cam Newton.
All right, well, let's move on. We got two games left. So we got the New England Patriots, losers of two in a row to drop them to 10-2. The Houston Texans, 6-6, surprising 6-6 probably,
yeah.
Given how bad they looked at the beginning of the year.
But they lost a game last week that was really a game they really needed to win. New England this week, I think they win. I think they bounce back here. I know they got tons of injuries, but with Watt, with his broken hand, I mean, I know he'll play through it. It'll affect him some. It absolutely will. But the Patriots are not going to go into an extended losing streak, and not against this team, and not at home. And I'm not sure who it is, but some receiver from them is going to have a huge game. Maybe somebody off the radar even.
Yeah, it's possible. I don't know if like White had a big game last week. I don't see him having a big game this week.
No. I don't think I wouldn't. I wouldn't play their running backs. I would look maybe deep on their roster for maybe you can find a streaming or a daily fantasy play at wide receiver that I would really like.
I mean, obviously you gotta love Nuke Hopkins for the Texans. Their running backs though
you never don't love Nuke Hopkins.
No. Yeah, I mean, the running backs are death. so far.
Well, I mean, you know what? As a group, they're performing really well.
Yeah.
But it's a group, so they're no good in fantasy.
Yeah, and again, much like the Patriots, you don't know which one it's going to be.
No.
All right, let's finish it off with the Monday night game. The New York Giants, 5-7 versus the 5-7 Miami Dolphins.
I don't know. What do you think?
Well,
That's a tough one.
It's a tough one, you know, simply based on the fact that it's at home, I'll go with the Miami Dolphins. But because, you know, here's the thing. I actually think that the Giants are on the, they're on the way down. I think as a whole, I think their coach is old. Their team is old. I think that there's issues. I think they're a pretty good team, but I don't really think that they've got enough to really put them over the hump this year.
I'm going to disagree with you. I think they're going to win that division. I think when you look at them, you see a team here that has lost an awful lot of super close games. Like, if you look at what they're losing by, they're barely losing. Whereas, frankly, the Dolphins are getting blown out, you know, often now lately. I think the Dolphins, you can say that he got an old coach. Isn't he still the better head coach of the two teams?
Well, I mean, right now, sure, anybody's a better head coach. But it comes down to the better players, and I actually believe that the better players are on Miami's team right now.
They might be. I mean, I'm not going to say they aren't. They might be. But no, I mean, I think the Giants will win the game. Pitts is a really strange game, though. Again, when you look at it from a fantasy perspective, we're talking the running backs and focusing in on that. There's not a single the Giants, that's off the board.
Off the board. Since about week four, I think.
Yeah, no, it is. So that leaves you with, Miller, who you never know what you're going to get.
No, I mean, he's being fantasy relevant multiple times, and he's a good back, but he certainly had his bus.
I think that I would play him. I'd definitely play Landry. Like, I'd play the stars in the two teams. You know, I mean, if you have Eli and you like the matchup, I'd play Eli. I'd play any of them. Any of these guys have a chance to be like. This is one of those funny games where it's like. You don't feel like it's. I don't feel like it's going to be anybody's going to light it up, but I feel like it's probably a pretty safe play that it's one of those games that goes like, you know, 28-25, and there's enough fantasy points scored kind of spread around that you do okay.
I think that's fair. I don't know about who's going to win though.
I like the Giants. I still think the Giants are going to win the East. But we'll see. I just think Campbell's a bit of a joke. So the number one quarterback this week is Cam Newton. Number two is Russell Wilson. You look at both those matchups. I mean, the Cam Newton Falcons, Wilson of the Ravens, Winston with the Saints is number three. Then you got Brady and Rodgers. I mean, these are all strong plays. What do you like? Who do you like this week? Who I like isn't even that top group. Do you want me to just tell you?
Sure. Yes.
Big Ben.
Big Ben, yeah, he's a fantastic play. I also happen to think that Tyrod Taylor is going to be a great play.
Tyrod Taylor, Blake Bortles, all these guys are awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's very hard not to go with Cam because he's a beast right now.
Cam Newton is
you know,
different.
It just seems so safe to pick him at this point.
Yeah, but with 38% of people picking him, I say we go with Big Ben.
Sure.
You all right with that? Yeah, and, you know, if we're wrong, then... And it ends up being Dalton, then all I can say is nobody picked him.
Yeah.
the running backs, the top guy is Doug Martin, and deservedly so versus the Saints. Thomas Rawls against the Ravens is really, really high too. That's actually not a good matchup, is what is hilarious to me. That fantasy-wise is actually a very poor matchup. LeSean McCoy.
I love me some LeSean McCoy.
I do. Adrian Peterson. Oh. And Jonathan Stewart round out the top guys. Is there anybody, who would you consider to be maybe a sleeper this week?
Let's see. That's a really good question. Out of those group, you know, like, I mean, Jonathan Stewart, I do think will be a fine play. The question is, will he get, you know, a couple of touchdowns? Because I think when you're talking about some of these guys, you're expecting a couple of touchdowns. You know, overall, I don't know. I'm not really screaming running backs this week.
Yeah, again, I think Williamson could have a great game.
I do like me some Matt Forte this week against the Skins. I think he's a huge game. He's the guy. I don't mind Titan or Ivory also as a sleeper, but Matt Forte down the list a little bit further. Let's pick him. And then do you want to go McCoy? Do you want to go...
I would probably go McCoy myself.
Okay, let's go McCoy with the other guy then. And we'll throw him in there and move on to the wide receivers. You would think if we're picking Big Ben, obviously picking Antonio Brown would be a logical choice. I mean, Beckham is the number one pick this week, Odell Beckham. Brown is number two.
I love me some Allen Robinson.
You gotta love Allen Robinson.
But Brandon Marshall's got such a great matchup, so, hard to pick against him. I mean, look at that. Doug Baldwin has come up so far in the last couple of games.
Yeah, he's the number five guy. Then you got Watkins and Green. And
Green has Calvin a great Johnson, matchup
Mike
as well.
Mike Evans, like, Nuke Hopkins. Like, these guys are all awesome. It's just so many talented players, playmakers at the wide receiver position. That's where the best athletes are. That's where the best talent is. I think we got to go Brown. I think we just have to, right? Because he's the best. He's the best wide receiver, I think, in the NFL.
Yep.
I don't think that, I was saying Julio Jones earlier in the year. Jones is, did you see how far down he was?
Yeah, he's way down there.
Well, doesn't that make him an excellent pick?
It makes him a good pick, but, that's a hard, hard matchup. Josh Norman is being great this year.
He has, but he's Julio Jones. What about Alshon Jeffrey, who has a nice matchup with the Redskins?
He does have a nice matchup. He's well off the radar, that's for sure. There is no question about that.
Yeah.
At this point, my only concern is, are we going too deep,
Jeremy Maclin is another guy who's been hot as hell.
Yep.
And
great matchup.
Chargers. So if you want, we can just go with Robinson. Or the only problem with Robinson is Hearns, I think, is in this week, right? Whereas he was out.
I'm not sure. I'm also good with Brandon Marshall. I think Brandon Marshall's great. So.
All right, we're going Brown and Marshall, and the tight end. Ooh. That's an interesting
one. Greg Olsen is your number one choice, no doubt about that.
I like me Kelsey this week. I really think Kelsey. And like I say, I know that the Steelers have been eaten up by tight ends, and Eifert has a great chance, but coming off the concussion.
Seferian Jenkins has an unbelievable matchup as well. As far as the daily play goes, he is brilliant in that case.
Let's go Kelsey, though Jenkins will probably be the number two pick. Daily fantasy, that's definitely, I think, the guy you want to go with. Kickers are kickers. We'll just go Gronkowski.
Pick yourself one. Yep.
Yeah, he's the top ranked guy, so there's no reason to think he won't. And what's the defense you're looking at this week? The Seahawks are the number one defense, understandable against Jimmy Clausen.
Yeah.
Though I still think the Ravens might win that game.
You
got Broncos and the Chiefs. They're the next one, and then the Panthers and the Green Bay Packers.
I love the Chiefs. I love the Packers for that matter too. But my favorite defense is actually the Arizona Cardinals. I know that they're going up against Adrian Peterson, but that's all they're going up against is Adrian Peterson.
Know what? I do not mind that whatsoever. They're top-ranked defense, and they're the sixth-ranked defense facing this 22nd-ranked offense. They're a little bit further down the list. That's a great pick. And I think that's about it for this week. Reach us at We Talk Podcasts on Twitter. You can, if you care to email us, info@wetalkpodcasts.com. We're at Facebook/WeTalkPodcasts. Of course, the show is We Talk Fantasy Football. And Brett, I think you have something you'd like to tell people.
That's right. We'll see you. And so far, as we've proven this year, we'll beat you.
Well, that sounds extra arrogant.